Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Open your Bibles up to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to dismiss the children to children's church at this time. And we are opening to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 14 in just a minute. Well, we have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, and some are married. Some have been married for a long time. Some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus Christ and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Say it with me. Jesus is wonderful. Well, in the book of Ephesians, we have been studying, understanding the grace of God as a believer. The first three chapters of Ephesians are laid out that way. And I like this analogy that just like a person is not fit or not able to stay underwater a long time, we're not built that way. But if we have scuba gear, if we have the proper equipment, then we can go underwater for extended periods of time, and we can do all kinds of things underwater if we have the proper equipment. In the same way, our citizenship is in heaven. And so this is really not our home, but if we have the proper equipment given to us by the grace of God, then we can make it in this life. Paul was writing from a prison to those in Ephesus and around that region. This was a cyclical letter that was to go to all the believers in Asia and that part of the world. And he was telling them that God will equip them to live in difficult days. They were in difficult days. Ephesus was a pagan city. And those that were followers of Jesus had it rough in the city of Ephesus. And so he's telling them, I want to give you some equipment similar to what a scuba diver would get to go underwater. Paul is saying, I want to give you some equipment that'll help you live in this world. Here's what we've learned. We've learned that we have grace and peace from God. We've learned that in the heavenly realm, now it's very difficult to understand this, but in Christ Jesus, we have been seated with Christ in the heavenlies. So positionally, we are with God positionally in heaven. We have been elected by God before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him. We have been predestined to be adopted into the family of God. Those who believe upon Christ have been predestined to be adopted in the family of God. Paul prayed that we would have understanding of the hope that is our inheritance. He has given us the Holy Spirit as our earnest. It's something that He gave us up front. All of salvation has not been fully delivered. It will be fully delivered when He comes again. But everything we need for life and godliness, we have been given by His grace. We have been saved. We learned in chapter 2. We have been saved. Grace saves from sin to salvation. And then he talked about the fact that grace really establishes the Christian and establishes the church. Last week we talked about that Paul reveals in his grace the mystery. He talks about the mystery, something that had been covered up that is now revealed. What was that mystery? That God established the church. Folks, you're in church today. You're a part. You are seeing the mystery revealed. God has ordained for us to come together in the church to be encouraged and to be blessed. And Paul was saying to those in Ephesus, there were both Jews and Gentiles. He said, no longer do you look at people necessarily as Jews or Gentiles. You look to one another because he's made He's made all of you into one body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we come to the end of chapter 3 today, and here's our topic, grace that gives supernatural strength. We need that gear. We need that gear in our life to have that supernatural strength. Now, I want to read the passage today, so I'm going to read from my text. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, and here's the main thought of this text, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then this amazing verse of Scripture, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Verse 21. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In verse 14, it says, for this reason. What reason? Well, he's referring back to this mystery of the church. Because God established the church made up of all peoples, made up of the Jews and the Gentiles. Because he did that, I'm praying that you would be strengthened. Paul prayed for them to be granted, that they would be strengthened. In verse 16, look at that. It says that he would grant you according to the riches, or according to the standard of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. The word strengthened there is a word that means to overcome resistance. In other words, in the difficult day in which we live, God is saying to you, you put your faith and trust in Jesus, the grace of God will give you strength. How is it that God's people make it in difficulty? How is it that God's people make it in persecution? There are places in the world, even right now, even today, that the screws are being tightened upon Christians that name the name of Christ in those nations, and the screws are being tightened, and yet those people have the strength to endure. And so the word strengthen means to overcome resistance. Strengthened with might. That word is where we get the word dynamite. In other words, God is saying, I want to strengthen you with dynamite-type power to be able to make it. And then it says, in the inner man. So often, congregation, we put our focus on the outward appearance. God gives people strength on the inside. The phrase, in the inner man, means in his innermost being. In other words, when you're all alone and you're wondering, do I have the strength to make it in this world? God's grace gives you the strength of his might in the inner man. Now, there are three things I want to draw your attention to, and one of them has several things under it that I want you to see. They're handles for us to hold on in this amazing passage of Scripture. Here's number one. The supernatural strength comes from our relationship with Christ in verses 14 through 19. And letter A under that, or the first thing under that, is this: Jesus must be at home in our lives. If we're going to have that kind of strength, the Lord Jesus Christ must be at home in our lives. Look at verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. And then verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The word dwell means to be at home. As a matter of fact, some of your translations may even say it that way, that Christ may be at home in your heart. The word heart there is a word for your whole personality, that Jesus may be at home in our lives. That means he is the center of our lives. That means he is the Lord of our lives. You cannot expect this supernatural strength if Jesus Christ is just tacked on to your life, if Jesus Christ is just kind of just in a little room over here. That kind of strength only comes when Jesus is at home in your life. Our young people have been learning about having an undivided heart. I heard one quote from our speaker, Billy Young, who said to them, to live your life for Jesus Christ is better than anything the world could ever offer. Amen, that's true. Living your life for Christ is the most exciting life. I tell you what, all the adventure of my life ever came from living for Jesus. The most exciting life you could ever live. Now, it's not always easy. But Christ gives strength on the inside. Dr. Bill Bright, who founded Campus Crusade for Christ, has a little illustration. He says, this is your life, and he puts it like in a circle. And then he draws a throne. And he says, every person has to decide who's sitting on that throne. You can put, and in his little illustration, he put a little S. And then over the side, the little key said, S equals self. You know, you can put your own self on the throne of your life. But if you do that, you will not have the supernatural strength that Paul is talking about. In Dr. Bright's illustration, he says you must put Christ on the throne of your life. That's a lot of what our young people have been talking about this weekend. They've been talking about lordship, letting Christ be the Lord of our lives. And it says that he is the Lord in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Your heart is your whole personality. Ladies and gentlemen, that means your entertainment life is under the lordship of Christ. That means your time is under the lordship of Christ. That means your recreation is under the lordship of Christ. Your work is under the lordship of Christ. Your relationships are under the lordship of Christ. This is lordship, that Christ permeates our life. He's at home. That Christ might dwell in your hearts, the passage says. Somebody said this, if Christ is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. Christ is not happy for us to give him a little place in our life. No, Christ is the King of the universe. He is to be Lord of all. And so, to have that supernatural strength in our relationship with God, number one, or letter A, Jesus must be at home in our lives. Here's the second thing. Jesus must be free to work. He must have complete freedom. In verse 17, you follow on along, it says, that you being rooted and grounded in love. He uses the word rooted, which is talking about a plant that the roots go deep. And then it says grounded. That's a building term, like we're going to let him have the foundation. Now, here's why I say he must be free to work. Because both of those words are words that show a past action with future consequences. That the Lord is, he is to be rooted, our life with Christ, that we are to be rooted and grounded in love. And that rooted and groundedness in love is something that has happened, and yet it has a future result. And so what that means is Christ is free to make changes and to do things in our life. It's basically saying this, Lord, I don't know everything about my future, but I give you my future. You are free to do whatever you want to do in my life. Now, that's real easy for a preacher to say. That's real easy for me to say. But I tell you what, living that out is difficult. It takes commitment. But if we're going to have the kind of strength in the inner man, we've got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm yours. Betty Scott was a young girl who later married a man named John Stamm. So she was known as Betty Scott Stamm. John Stamm was a missionary to China. And there was all kinds of persecution at the turn of the century, the last century, in China, and yet John was going to go. And so Betty had to decide, am I willing, Lord, to let you do in me whatever you want to do? I heard Elizabeth Elliot tell this story because this impacted Elizabeth Elliot when she was a teenage girl, and she realized what discipleship meant. And here was the quote that Elizabeth Elliot found of Betty Scott's when Betty Scott was a 17-year-old teenager. Here's what she wrote, and I wrote this in the front of my Bible to remind me often of what that kind of commitment is like. She said this: "I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all utterly to thee, to be thine forever. Fill me and send me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me as thou wilt, send me where thou wilt, and work out thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever." I would say that's giving Jesus freedom to do whatever he wants to do. That is what being rooted and grounded in God's grace and in his love means. To say, "Jesus, whatever the questions are, the answer is yes." And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, to live that way is a powerful way to live. It is the way that we have supernatural grace in our life. The third thing is this: that Jesus, his love should overwhelm us, because we see, not only do we see that Jesus is free to work, but Jesus' love should absolutely overwhelm us. In verse 18, it says, "The rooted and grounded love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Jesus' love should overwhelm us. Now, I want to be quiet or be a little bit stiller here, and I want you to think about the love of Almighty God for us. Think about what he has done for us. Does it overwhelm us? This description where he talks about the height and the depth and the length is not related to the thoroughness of the comprehension or the immensity of the love there, but it is really for us to comprehend the immensity of all that God has done for us in his love for us. It's not that we have everything handled, but it's that we are overwhelmed by the love that Jesus has provided for us. And it says it's love which passes knowledge. I think about that hymn, "The Love of God." "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin." Then I love this verse. It says, "Could we with ink the oceans fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song." A little kid growing up in Jacksonville with a single parent, that was me. The God creator of this universe, who spoke the words and the stars were in place, he knew me. Just a little red-headed kid over off of Barnes Road in Jacksonville, Florida, in apartment number 10. Every once in a while when I go back to Jacksonville, I have family there. I drive over there, and I'm reminded of the love of God. Can I tell you this? We're so blessed. We're in this congregation today. We're loved. Hey, we're loved by God, but we're loved by each other. We got a family, don't we? Y'all are just kind of looking at me. Y'all there today? Okay. We've got a family. Can I tell you this? There's a whole world of people out there that don't have this. They actually have it offered to them. They don't know about it. We should be overwhelmed by God's love. And then the relationship with Christ delivers the truth that Jesus provides what we need in verse 19, letter D. It says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Jesus provides what we need. You will be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. That is the strength that Christ gives to those who have an undivided heart, young people. The decision you made this week, this weekend, to make sure your heart is undivided, that Jesus Christ is number one. He's number one over any relationship with some guy or girl or any kind of future plan that you may have. He's number one. Jesus, whatever the questions are, the answer is yes. Oh, what a way to live. You're embarking on the greatest life you could ever imagine if you live that way. Jesus has such an awesome plan for you. So we realize that supernatural strength comes from our relationship with Christ. And then number two, the supernatural strength causes us to glorify God. This amazing verse of Scripture in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church. This is really a prayer. This is one sentence in the Greek language, by the way. There's no punctuation. Paul was the worst about run-on sentences, okay? He was the worst. He had all these run-on sentences. But this is one, verses 14 to 21 is one sentence in the Greek language. But he's basically saying, look, when we realize the strength that God has given us, it causes us to glorify God. To him, to who? To God the Father, to our Lord, be glory to him in the church. Somehow the Lord has made it possible that the church is a part of giving God glory. You as an individual, but you collectively in the church, this mystery that God has put us in. It says that we are to glorify God, to him, to our Lord, exceedingly abundantly. That phrase means he overexceeds. Immeasurably more, some translations say. He overexceeds more than we could ever imagine. The Lord, and Paul loves superlatives. He loves all those things exceedingly abundantly. He loves that kind of language, and here he uses it. This is the power that works in us. And so we see that supernatural strength causes us to glorify God. And then here's the last thing, and I'll close. Number three, the supernatural strength should be experienced by every generation. I love that. I love that we came to this passage of Scripture on our D-Now weekend, because our young people have been out off considering the claims of Christ upon their life. And congregation, I pray that you would consider the claims of Christ upon your life, the lordship of Christ in your own heart. But he says there, to him be glory in the church. And then at the very end of that Scripture, to all generations. In all throughout the Scripture, the Lord says that this glory should go throughout all eternity, literally to all the generations of the age of the ages. So in order for us to receive this type of strength, first of all, we've got to realize that it comes from our relationship with Christ. Second of all, we got to realize it causes us to glorify our God. And we must be committed to get it to every generation. I'm so thrilled that we have a church that loves young people and loves college students and loves the next generation. Because it's very, very important. It's very, very important that generations to come understand this kind of strength that God gives. Now, we've learned that it comes when we allow Christ to be at home. When Christ has lordship. There was a little girl who had a bag of candy. And there was a little boy who had a bag of marbles. And The little girl said to the boy with the marbles, if you'll give me all the marbles, I'll give you all the candy. And the little boy looked at that candy. Man, it looked good. Then he looked at his marbles and looked at the candy. He said, no, and he kind of walked off. Then he got to thinking about that candy. And he said, wait a minute. So he went back to the girl. He said, all right. He said, I'll go get my bag of marbles. He said, but if you'll give me all the candy, I'll give you all the marbles. She said, okay, that's a deal. And so he ran back to his room, and he got his little bag of marbles. And he opened up that bag, and he took his prize marble. And he took that out, and he slid it under his pillow in his bedroom. And then he tightened up his little bag. He said, okay, here's all the marbles. And the girl said, here's all the candy. And they traded. That night, boy, that girl slept good. She had a whole bag of marbles. And that boy laid awake all night wondering if she'd given him all the candy. In order, young people, listen to me, in order to get the supernatural might of Almighty God in the inner man, we've got to give him all the marbles. And too often, you wonder why you don't have victory in your life. It's because you've taken some of the prize things that you think you don't want to give Jesus lordship over, and you've slid them under your pillow, and then you've come to the Lord. You said, okay, Lord, this is me. He knows it. But when you finally say, Lord, whatever the questions are, the answer is yes. Lord, all take me where thou wilt, do with me whatever you want to do, whatever the cost. I'm yours, Lord Jesus. Then all of a sudden you experience the supernatural. You have the equipment to make it in this world. The supernatural grace of God. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.